I greet you in the worthy name of Christ this morning. It's been a blessing to be here. I feel a little out of place with so many missing. The leaders are not here, but I was asked if I would share a message this morning, and so I trust that you've come praying. And we know that God is faithful. So this morning we want to look into the Word of God, and we just saying about the glory gates. This morning we're here, and I trust every one of us is looking forward and desiring to arrive. We know that those that are missing today are gone because of many of them, most of them, because their brother met his appointed time, because a brother has lived his life. There's no more living for him to do, no more choices for him to make. And we trust that the glory gates of heaven are open to receive him. Now the choice is still yours and mine to prepare our lives, to live our lives in preparation for that time of my appointed time. I don't know when that's going to be. It's not as far away as it used to be, but it really doesn't matter as long as I live every day prepared to meet that time. I'll never forget the day that my father was given the diagnosis of having cancer on his liver, and the doctor told him that he will not be able to cure you. But we could give you treatments and try to prolong your time. My father chose to go home to do what he can and commit it to the hands of God. He wants to heal him. That would be good, but he said, I will accept what God has. And as a son, that spoke to me. As that day arrived, you know, it was impressed upon my mind that that is what we're living for every day, or should, are we living for that every day? Have we got that time in mind every day, consciously thinking about that time when I will meet that appointed time? So this morning I'd like to think about, we're building, the thought that came to me as I was asked to do this, we're building for eternity. How am I building for eternity? And I've entitled the message, Successful Building. And how do we successfully build a mansion for us, or a home for us, eternity, that we can be received into the glories of heaven? We know, and Scripture teaches us the importance of a foundation, and to those of many of you that are builders, and to, I think, most all of us that have come to the years of understanding, realize the importance of a foundation in building. And we have Jesus taught us even and reminded us of that. And I'd like to use for text verses Luke chapter 6. Verses 47 to the end, and it is a very familiar scripture. Luke 6, 47 says, Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. It's like a man which built a house, dig deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the floods came, and the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So here Christ has instructed us that, you know, he says here, Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings or my teachings and doeth them. And therein lies the importance, or the important thing. It isn't enough for us to hear the teachings of our Lord, the teachings of the Word of God. But he says, and doeth them, and then I will show you who that person is like. And he brings in this man that dug deep and put in a foundation on the rock, and then he built his house upon that foundation. And so as I think of a foundation, it's something normally in a building that is kind of hidden. We don't see much of the foundation, but it is the very important beginning of that building. And so, and I'd like to just consider the importance of a foundation. Even when we go back into the Old Testament, when the children of Israel had turned away from God to the point that God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to come over there and to destroy Jerusalem and the temple and take the people captive. And the time came when a king arose that gave permission to go back. When we go back to the book of Ezra, and I'm not going to turn there, but read that sometimes, when the people, when Darius allowed the people, or some of the people, to go back and to rebuild the temple. In Ezra chapter 6, verse 3, part of that verse, the king said, let the foundations thereof be strongly laid. This was the king's direction for the people to go back there, not just to build a house and haphazardly, but he says, go back there and lay those foundations strongly. And as I think of that, as we come into the New Testament setting, our King, God, he has laid the surest and the only foundation, his building, the church, will ever need to be built upon and stand forever. That foundation that was laid by God for his people to build upon, to be able to successfully end this life, prepared to enter what God has prepared for those that love him, is a foundation that will never move, a foundation that will last forever. All people down through the ages that believed and lived their life in obedience to God and built upon that foundation will still be here for however long time goes on. Paul to the Corinthians writes and says, for other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So this is the foundation. And as I think of building successfully, our life in preparation to end a destiny where we want to be throughout all eternity, we have to build upon that solid, unmovable foundation, Jesus Christ. I'm going to turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and read a portion of scripture in Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 17. And here Paul was writing to the Ephesians and telling them of where they had been when they were outside without God, how he in his mercy made a way and brought to them the word of God or the plan of salvation. And then in verse 17, he comes and says, and he came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them which were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Again, coming back to this foundation that God provided for all of mankind. And Jesus told us when he was here that no man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's only upon that foundation that we can have access to God. In Isaiah 28:16, Isaiah writes, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a true stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." And that "he that believeth shall not make haste," in my German translation, it says, "he shall not flee." Well, that would be the interpretation back into the English. So when we believe and we accept that foundation that God has laid for us to successfully live our life in obedience to his will and to be ready to enter into the pearly gates of heaven, we don't have to flee. We won't flee as long as we're building upon that sound foundation. Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:19, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every man that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." And we heard that this morning in our Sunday school discussion, that we are living in a time when there are those that are professing the name of Christ, but are not living in obedience to the word of God. But here Paul is saying to Timothy, God has laid a sure foundation. And if we're going to name the name of Christ and claim to be building on that foundation, our life has to depart from iniquity or sin. Sin cannot continue on and not be tolerated in our life. It has to be put away. And we could go on talking about some of the scripture about foundations, but the foundation is evident. There has to be a good foundation for us to build a structure successfully that will stand the test of time or the storms of life, as Christ referred to there, as the floods arose and beat against those houses. The one with the foundation stood the test of that storm. The one that did not have a foundation immediately crumbled. And so all of us have and will meet up with storms in life. In our spiritual life, in our spiritual endeavor, we're going to meet up with situations and circumstances that are contrary, that are not pleasing to our flesh. Circumstances that our enemy would like to use to draw us away and take us off of that firm foundation. We've all faced those times. And as life goes on, we'll continue to face those times. I can think back in the time of some of you, the youth here, and the young married people and those. And then I look at the years that I've lived, and I can assure you that the storms don't quit. The storms of life continue to, we might say, beat against our life. The storms today in my life are different than the storms I faced when I was young. The temptations or the trials and whatever. But in whatever stage of life we are, we have different, maybe differing trials or temptations or things that we face in life. And so, no matter where we are, we need a firm foundation. There's many people that claim to be, as was said here this morning, to be the people of God, and yet they're on shaky foundations. They're building their lives upon unstable things. And so let's be sure we build on solid foundations. The storms are going to continue. The enemy of our soul, and we'll get into some more maybe of that as we go on, but he doesn't quit. His one desire and goal is to get us to deviate from our commitments to God, to turn away, no matter how late in life, if he can get us to turn away and to enter his armor, we might say. I stood at the bedside of an aunt of mine in her dying hours, still struggling with the enemy of her soul. That enemy was trying to convince her that all things have not been taken care of, or questioning, have they really rightly been taken care of? And when we finally were able to help her, get her to just think about, have you confessed the wrongs that you know of and made them right and repented of them? If you have, claimed the promise that God has given us, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And the enemy cannot take that away from us. And she found peace. In Acts 2, as Christ had left the apostles here, and he went back to his Father in glory, and they went about starting to spread the gospel of the good news, and Peter was preaching, and he was reminding the people that this Jesus that you crucified, he was the Son of God. And he's the one that you're going to have to give an account to. He's the one that has made a way for you to be forgiven and to become his children. And the people got to the convicted, and they came to the point, I like to think, as we think of building successfully, how do we get established on that solid foundation of Jesus Christ? And the people finally said to Peter and the apostles, they said, brethren, what must we do? Peter told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so I think this is the formula. This is the avenue of us to come to being grounded or established upon the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. You know, today we are living in a society and in a time when there are even people that desire to be baptized, but they don't want to really repent of all their sins. And there are people that are giving, we might say, a right to do that, or that can be done. Let us notice the first thing that Peter said was repent. Unless we repent of our sins, we're not going to get established on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. Sin can never enter there. So we need to repent. And I believe when that happens, you know, I can look back and remember back in my life when I started facing this storm of understanding that I'm a lost person, I'm a sinner. I have a need of salvation through the blood of Christ. And how I started to pursue and looking into the Word of God. Well, remember that. I can take you right back to where that struggle finally came to where I've committed myself. But I needed to repent. And then as I repented of my sins and I really desired peace with God, I also desired to be a part of a body of believers. And I didn't understand at that time the importance of that, or the value of that, for me to be able to have support, maybe sometimes reminders, things of needs in my life, to really be a child of God, or to remain on that solid foundation. We need to repent. Then I believe it brings a desire for baptism. And you know, there are those that realize that they'd like to be baptized, that that is a part of this process, but they don't want to give up everything of self. That's a sad situation. And then Paul says, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is that becoming, experiencing that new birth in our life and coming to the place where the Holy Spirit can dwell in my heart and my life and help me, give me direction. You know, my prayer every day is that I could yield myself and submit myself to the power and direction of Jesus Christ, because I know that Holy Spirit will never lead me into anything displeasing in God's eyes. That Holy Spirit will always lead me in the way everlasting. But I'd like to go on. I'd like to come on and I'd like to look at, we have some scriptures that warn us and remind us. Paul to the Corinthians writes and tells us in 1 Corinthians 3 and part of that verse 10 that we are to be careful how we build on that sure foundation. We have to build in obedience to the Word of God. I'd like to look at some ingredients or some, and these are, I wrote down here some things that I believe are materials to build upon the solid foundation of Jesus Christ, our life, that it can be successful and victorious unto the end. And I'd like to look at some of those things briefly here this morning. And the first one I wrote down here was that we need a purpose or a goal in life. We need a purpose. Without a purpose, you know, as the builders that go about building houses or any kind of a building, they need a purpose. They don't just start building something for the anyhow of it, not knowing what they're really wanting to do with it or have when they get done. They have a purpose. As we go about any of our occupations, we have a purpose for doing that. And part of that purpose is, of course, to provide for the needs of ourselves and our families and the needs of others, you know, to share with others. But we need a purpose. And so as I think of our spiritual life and building successfully upon the solid foundation of Jesus Christ, do I have a purpose? Does my purpose, I have to say, what did Jesus say when mom and dad asked him, why did you not come home with us? Jesus told them, don't know ye not that I must be about my Father's business. And so as I come in my life to the point to where, and as I live my life, have I got a purpose to do the will of my Father in heaven? Do I think about what it costs for my salvation? Do I think about what Jesus went through and what the Father went through of sending his only Son down here upon this earth? And then Jesus, what he went through and suffered and endured in order to pay the price for the remission of my sins. So does that create a purpose in my life to want to give my life in service to God? He has put us here for a purpose, every one of us. God didn't just place us here to do whatever. God has a purpose. He wants us to be laborers in his vineyard. He wants us. And we can go to scripture that tells us about the differing calls or the differing gifts, whatever we want to call them, that God has placed upon man, given to man. We are to be his workmen here on this earth while we're here. So have I surrendered my will to that purpose that God has for my life? Have I a purpose and a goal as I start through life. And as I think of that, my mind again goes to the Old Testament. And now if we go to the book of Nehemiah, we see a people that had a purpose in life. In the book of Ezra, the people went back to rebuild the temple. And they went about that, building that temple. In Nehemiah went back, we might say, with the permission, with the blessings of the king, again, to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And in both instances, they faced much opposition. And it comes back to our Sunday school lesson today. You know, as children of God, if we're building on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ, we're going to face opposition. There are those that will not, maybe don't appreciate the life that we live. And sometimes we don't even have to speak much. But an example of godly living is convicting to some, and it is an offense to some. They don't want to hear it. But in the face of Nehemiah especially, and if we go back to the building of the temple, they had the same kind. They had much opposition of various types. They had scorn, they had slander, they had accusations, they had threat of force. And then we look at the sheer amount of work. As I think of Nehemiah going out there and observing the broken walls, the burnt gates, we might just say that the utter destruction of the walls of Jerusalem, and thinking about rebuilding them, could have been very discouraging to him. But he had a purpose. He realized this is God's plan. This is God's will that these walls are here. And so he had a purpose that went way beyond, we might say, took much more than just Nehemiah and the people. And Nehemiah, in Nehemiah 4:6, it says, "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." The people had a purpose. Now let's just ask ourselves, I have to ask myself, in my personal life, have I a purpose settled in my mind and in my heart to live for the Lord Jesus Christ and to help to build his church while I'm here? There's a lot of things I can't do anymore that I used to be able to do. But is my purpose in life to do what I can? Did we remember all of those traveling to the funeral in our prayers for their safety? They went there because of love, to show respect, and hopefully they can at the other end, the people can sense the support of us as a church. Some of us were not able to go. But do we have a purpose to do the things that builds the church of Jesus Christ, and we're building on a solid foundation? They had a mind to work. They had a purpose. The second thing I have here is a successful builder must have a vision beyond the present. How many times would we just give up if we could see no further, or if we had no more of a vision than just now? The Bible tells us that where there's no vision, the people perish. Why? Because they see no need of, we might say, striving on or struggling on or doing whatever. Nehemiah, I'm sure, as he stood there and observed the walls and the burnt gates, he saw something. He had a vision of something beyond all the work that was involved. There was a tremendous amount of work. When we read that account of how that wall was built, I can't imagine everything that it took to build a wall like they build. But he had a vision of something. He had a vision of the end result. When you as home builders or whatever building you're building, if you could not see in your mind the finished product, envision that, what would be the purpose of you starting to build it? But we need a vision of you and I got a vision of what God has provided for us and what God is. Jesus told us that he in his Father's house are many mansions. And he said, if it were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. Christ has prepared this place. He has a place for us to spend eternity in a way beyond our imagination. A glorious place to spend eternity if we choose to build on the sound foundation of Jesus Christ. If we have that vision, we keep on pressing toward the mark. But without that vision, we'll become discouraged. We'll come to the place where we think it doesn't matter whether I do what I know is right. I do what I want to do, no matter whether it works peace or whether it doesn't. But when we have a vision of eternity with Jesus, it gives us courage to go on in the storms that we face in life. As youth, as young married people with a family, as we get older, maybe health issues or whatever, but we have a vision of something better, and we can, and the grace of God will give us what we need to continue on. In Nehemiah 2:18, when Nehemiah came there, as he observed the work that was to be done, he had not told the people why he's there, or what he plans to do, or what he was sent to do. He didn't tell them what his purpose was until he had observed all these things. And then he brought the people together. And in 2:18, he says, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's word that he had spoken unto me. And once he had relayed to them how God had moved him, how God had, I don't know, it doesn't tell us specifically what all God did say to him, or what all he envisioned from God. But he had that motivation. He had that goal in mind of going there and repairing those walls. And then he told them what the king told him. The king told him that the king, he had support and the blessing of the king. And when he told the people that, and they said, the people said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Are we doing that for each other? Have we a vision for ourselves, and have we a vision for each other? Have we a vision for the church? Where do we want it to go? How do we want to continue to build upon a solid foundation that can prosper, that can be successful, that has the blessing of God, and that the enemy that is making fun? You know, they even told these enemies that were there trying to hinder the work, trying to discourage them, and then finally even trying to get the king to tell them they have to quit. You know, they even made fun to the point they said, well, if a fox would run across that wall, it would crumble. But they had their mind stayed on God. They had a vision, and they kept on. As we develop purpose and vision in life. And we embark upon that, on that purpose and vision to live our life and to build upon the solid foundation of Jesus Christ, let us remember we have an enemy. But the more effort we put in, the more effort he'll put in trying to discourage us, trying to hinder us, trying to stop us. And that enemy will resist us. It's not maybe. The verses was quoted here this morning about, you know, we will face opposition. We will face persecution. Jesus said, if they do this to me, what will they do to you? And so, watch and pray. You know, Jesus told us. Jesus told them three disciples that were with him out there in the garden when he went over there to pray and plead with God, and if there's any other way for this, we might say this satisfied, that God might be satisfied on behalf of our sins to reveal it other than him to have to go to the cross. And when he came back, his disciples said, fell asleep. And so he woke them. He said, watch and pray. He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's us today. In our best intention, in our best purpose, in our best vision and effort to build on that solid rock, on that solid foundation, and be fully obedient to the will of God, we make mistakes. We face storms. We face situations that the spirit wants to do what's right, but we are in this flesh. And that flesh sometimes rises up and causes us to do things that we need to repent of. We need to recognize. We need to repent and realize that we failed. As the enemy tried to hinder Nehemiah in building the wall, let us notice what Nehemiah did. It says in chapter 4, verse 4, he prayed, hear, O our God, for we are despised. So when we face this storm of opposition, I believe we can go back to what was shared here this morning in our Sunday school lesson. You know, probably our strongest enemy or source of hinderness or source of trying to hinder us is apt to come from right within. The people that profess to be people of God. It might be the thing that beats against our house the worst for us to be able to stand for what is truth and not give in. We need to go to God. He is our source. We need to recognize we need a power that's greater than our own to resist this enemy from us to be successful in our building and living our life in a victorious way. And then in chapter 4, verse 9, Nehemiah says, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. We need to be watchful. Jesus taught us that. Yeah, and we read that throughout the New Testament from time to time where it tells us, watch and pray. Watch and be sober. Are we sober to the things around us? Are we discerning the spirits, whether they are of God or not? Are we discerning what is right and what is wrong in the face of the word of God? Not by what, just by what man says, because we might be deceived. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober and vigilant, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The truth is, the reality is, we have an enemy. Have we the right vision? Have we the right purpose in our life? If our purpose is to be at peace with all men, we're going to fail. Not everybody. We have to love everybody. We have to strive for peace with everybody, but we cannot identify with everybody and their thinking. We have to identify by the Word of God. The third thing I have is a successful builder must have faith. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. If we come to him, we must believe that he is and that he is rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, if I would have had known when I committed my life to Jesus, when I made my covenant with God and with the church, if I'd have known everything that God is going to ask of me in my life from then till now, I might have not decided to make that choice. But God is merciful. He doesn't give us the whole picture at one time, but he gives us grace for every day as we seek his will. I heard a man say one time that if he would have known what it would take to provide for a family, to raise a family in a godly home, he might have never gotten married. But he was reminded that God has promised to be with us. God has instituted marriage. God has provided for us to live a Christian life. And God is going to make a way. No matter what the storm is, God is going to make a way for us to be able to be successful in our living our life or building our life for him. God has promised us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He's faithful to never allow a temptation that he'll not make a way for us to be successful. The fourth one I have is consistency is another important element in successful building. If you start out building a house and one day you build according to code and according to blueprint, and the next day you build just the way you feel like, why, it's not probably not going to end up with what you want it to be at the end. How is my living or building my Christian life on the solid rock? You know, it doesn't work for me to just today, when I'm here in the church service, I live a godly life, a biblically obedient to the Word of God. But tomorrow when I'm out amongst secular people, then I want to blend in with them. So I compromise my life. I live maybe outside the will of God. Jesus told us we can't serve God and men. And so if we're not going to be consistent in our endeavor of building upon that solid foundation of Jesus Christ, we're not going to get grounded firmly. You know, I don't know what I'm going to face in the rest of my life. I don't know how long that's going to be, but I don't know what I'm going to face. But I need to have a foundation today, building on a foundation today that will help me to stand firm and obedient to the will of God, no matter what I face. Do the words that I speak and the things that I do, do they line up? Is my yea, and nay, nay? Kevin stood up here last Sunday before us all, and as he was asked the questions of, and I can't repeat them all exactly, but he was asked to, if he will deny the world, Satan and the world and the things of the world. He was asked if he would give his life in the support of the church and live the rest of his life for the Lord Jesus. And however they all went, but he answered those questions affirmatively. I remember back when I was there, and I answered those questions affirmatively. And most all of you here, if you've taken that step in life, I have answered those questions affirmatively. Now the question to me is my yes still yes? Is your yes still yes? Is it always yes? Are we always committed and to living a life for the building of the Church of Jesus Christ? Or do I want to spend part of my time? You know, when I'm not here, and when I go somewhere else, and we travel some, we go here and there, do I realize that I'm a representative of the church? If somebody asks me, where are you from? The life that they observe me living is going to make an impression of what they think about the church here, or wherever I tell them I'm a part of the church. Is it consistent with what the church is striving for? Does it draw their minds to a Heavenly Father? Does it make them question, is that really godliness? Is my life consistent? Am I living what I've made a covenant to live? Am I successfully building on that solid foundation of Jesus Christ? Or am I building on a building that is on shifting sand? When I'm here, it's this way. When I'm there, it's that way. If I talk to you, I feel like you. If I talk to you, I feel like you. Is it consistent? The fifth one, building material I have, is successful building takes working together. I don't believe many of you would like to go out and start building a building all by yourself. You need each other. In my personal spiritual life, I need other people of God. And if I'm building on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ, I treasure other people of God. I treasure people that are standing for truth. I want truth, but I'm in this carnal flesh, and I have an enemy that would like to persuade me to think things that are not sound, to do things that are not sound. So I need you to help me. I need your example. And I desire to be an example. We need to work together. We could call it cooperative laboring or a cooperative effort. And especially when we think about the church, each one has something that we can put into the church. Are we doing it? Are we willing? Are we on the building crew or on the wrecking crew? Am I trying to encourage others in moving forward in the Christian life, in church life, or am I a source of hindering others in their walk with God? Ephesians 5:21, Paul says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. In chapters 3 and 4 of Nehemiah, he portrays a good example of this, where he said where progress was made in building the wall because it worked in harmony. They had certain ones that were called to stand guard, or we might say watchmen. And when I think of that, and I think of the church, they had watchmen to look and see and observe if the enemy's coming, to warn the ones that were busy working and didn't have time to look and watch. They were to warn them. And I have to think of the leaders of our churches and their responsibility, their call from God, is to keep the church pure, to keep sin out of the church. They are called watchmen. If we go to Ezekiel And as I think of that, we're all watchmen in that sense, I believe. And if we see danger, if we see sin entering in it, we don't blow the trumpet, so to speak, or we don't warn. The Bible tells us there that there's blood on our hands. Are we willing to work together? No. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, "For we are laborers together with God." We have numerous places where it talks about we and us and them. So that tells me there's more than just me. I need to go on. The sixth one I have is humility is very vital in successful building. We are a body. 1 Corinthians 12:12, it says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that whole one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." If we're building on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ, we are one. We become one. We humble ourselves to the point that we can mesh together. I recognize your value in my life. I want to do what I can for others. But it takes humility. As long as I have pride in my life, on the job site, wherever, when there's one person there that's proud, when I'm proud, I'm hard to get along with. It's just the way pride works. And so it takes humility for us to labor together for successful building of God. Number seven, in natural building, there needs to be familiarity with and often referencing to blueprint and careful attendance and instruction and detail to build a house that at the end is what the owner wanted. We have to be familiar with the blueprint. We have to go to it. We have to refer to it. And maybe all of a sudden we'll say, "Well, how long is this wall really supposed to be?" Because the cabinets are supposed to fit in there or whatever. We need familiarity. So what is that blueprint for our building successfully on a solid foundation of Jesus Christ? John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Ephesians 5:26 says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. John 14:21 says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." The word, this is the blueprint. Are we willing to go by it? Are we searching it? Are we making ourselves familiar with the word of God so we may live a life that is successful spiritually? Number eight, and there's many other ingredients that could be here, and more important, maybe many more important ones than I have here. But the successful builder will have love for all those you labor. If there's a group of us laboring together on a job, and there's somebody there that just either doesn't love one of the other workers, or there's not a real love for each other, the work is going to be hindered. And it works that way here in the church. We don't love each other. When we have love, we're concerned about the well-being and the going up forward and the maintaining of a scriptural body of believers. Do we love each other? Do we love the work? Do we love the purpose that God has for me in my life? I need to go on. There's a song we sing sometimes, and here's just a part of it. Are you building for God alone? Are we consistent? Are we following the blueprint? Are you building for God alone? Are you building in faith and love? A temple that God will own in the city of light above. We all want to get to that city of light. Am I building a building that God will own, that God will accept? The builder who will be rewarded is the one who endures faithfully unto the end. May we have the testimony that Paul left us in 2 Timothy 4:6-8, where he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also who love his appearing." Are we building on a solid foundation? Are we building in a way that that can be our testimony as we get to the end of this life? With those thoughts, let's kneel together.